Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
Well, a lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
White. Couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame! Put him in the Hall! He's got 7 threes!
Wow.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following every Bulls game this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls _Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can find us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And of course, our text and voicemail line always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, 331-979-1369 for all of your Bulls and NBA thoughts, comments, and questions. Today being Wednesday, we will do mailbag material. We've got bunches of text messages to get to. We've also got a couple of Facebook Bulls fans checking in. All of that ahead with lots of questions about Zach, about Lowry, some thoughts from the Rockets loss and the Knicks win as well. Before we start today's show, just wanted to give a quick shout out to everybody in the Locked On Chicago Sports family. For all of you diehard Chicago sports fans across the board, you can find Locked On Cubs with Sean Sears, Locked On White Sox, a new edition with Herb Lawrence, Locked On Blackhawks with Jay Zawoski, and Locked On Bears with Lauren Cox. Check it out. Great material across the board. So the Bulls get a very needed win against the New York Knicks at home Tuesday night. Big performance from the rookie Kobe White in the fourth quarter, setting a Bulls franchise record for most threes made in a single quarter, being 7. Kobe White also becoming the youngest NBA player in history to knock down 7 threes in a game, let alone the fact that they were all in one quarter, beating Trae Young, beating Luka Doncic, who did it at the beginning of his rookie season last year. Kobe White, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 or so days younger than when Luka did it for the Mavs last season. And that was what the Bulls needed to put away a Knicks team that was starting to fight back again in the fourth quarter, just like we saw them do when they erased a 18-point Bulls lead when they first squared off earlier this season at Madison Square Garden. Big thanks to Bobby Portis and his dominant performance in the fourth quarter for that Knicks win and the Bulls' collapse. Looked like maybe the Bulls were headed for another fourth quarter collapse before Kobe, the rookie, put on probably one of the best shows the United Center has seen in recent memory. You had the UC crowd chanting his name, Kobe, Kobe. His UNC coach Roy Williams in attendance watching. Even did a in-game interview with NBC Sports' Layla Rahimi. And when Layla interviewed Kobe courtside after the win, really nice moment. Kobe talking about what it meant for him to have his college coach, Roy Williams, there in attendance, even joking that he wanted Roy to attend some more games. And it's mostly just, you know, some jokey material. But it is, I think, worth noting that two of Kobe's best performances this season have come when he's had some sort of extra motivation, some sort of extra reason to be hyped for the game. It was last night playing for his college coach Roy Williams in the crowd, knowing he was there, and in his other dominant performance this season another game that he took over down the stretch, the Bulls' first win of the year against the Memphis Grizzlies, he was going up against Ja Morant, who many said was a better prospect and a better lottery pick going ahead of Kobe White to Memphis. And Kobe, much for the most part, outperformed Ja Morant in that game. So certainly a fun night. Fun night for the Bulls fans who braved the cold and went to the United Center and saw the Bulls get a much-needed win. Bulls now 4-7 on the season. And in the very soft Eastern Conference, right there in the early stages of the playoff mix. So, personally, I wasn't blown away by this win. It's a very necessary win. It would have been inexcusable for this team to lose to the Knicks twice in the first 11 games of the season. That Knicks team is terrible. Make no mistake about it. That team is bad, and they're already dysfunctional. They're already getting press conferences from their front office, laying the groundwork to fire their head coach, Dave Fizdale. We've got some mailbag content about that coming up later in the show. But so the Bulls bounced back from their horrible shooting night against the Rockets, and they hit some big threes, and of course Kobe hit several big threes down the stretch for the Bulls to stave off the Knicks, who were starting to threaten there midway through the fourth. So they did that. They bounced back after a rough start when the Knicks had like five offensive rebounds in the first few minutes of the game, and did end up winning the Battle of the Boards, which I'm sure pleased Jim Boylan. And they did enough to get it done. They got a decent enough night from Zach LaVine, 25 on 9 of 19 from the floor. Not great, but good enough. Wendell Carter Jr., another double-double, his seventh through their first 11 games. He continues to show that he is perhaps the diamond in the rough and the young piece that isn't getting enough attention on this Bulls rebuild when most eyes are focused on the likes of Zach and Lowry and the occasional scoring outburst from the rookie Kobe White. But I didn't. None of my greater concerns were put at ease because we managed to beat a bad Knicks team and did so only because Kobe White went off on a crazy hot shooting streak. We continued to see the Bulls fail to execute down the stretch as they let the Knicks kind of creep in. And once again, and the Bulls will have a couple of tests coming up in the immediate schedule. We're going to play the Bucks a couple of times in the span of only a few days, with a Brooklyn game wedged in there as well. The Bucks will be without Chris Middleton, the sidekick to Giannis Antetokounmpo, the MVP, but it will still be a greater challenge, one would assume, than a bad Knicks team that you're playing at home. So no, I'm not jumping for joy because the Bulls managed to get to 1-1 on the season against the pathetic Knicks. We saw some nice things and we saw some not so nice things. And I'll take the win. They desperately needed it. But beating the Knicks means absolutely nothing to me. My head would be spinning if I were sitting here on Wednesday morning talking about the Bulls losing to the Knicks. Thank God that's not the case. And yes, it was fun, and I think it's something the Bulls fans needed to see that performance from Kobe White. I said on Outsiders last night, I can't remember the last time Bulls fans at the United Center were so jazzed up, even to get to the point of chanting the name of a player who was balling on the court wearing a Bulls jersey. Seems like forever since that's happened. Probably not since the Jimmy trade. So I think it was something that this fan base needed. And I'm glad we got to see it. And it was certainly a memorable performance for Kobe White. And Bulls fans should be excited about this kid because he's got a lot of potential. As I said on Outsiders last night, still don't think that the right answer is putting him in the starting lineup, because this was the first good game we've seen from Kobe in quite some time. He had a lot of bad games bridging the performance he put on last night and his dominant performance against Memphis. And even earlier in this game, not only did he have a rough start shooting the ball, he started 1 of 6 from the field, but he also had some unforced turnovers and some bad mental mistakes that caused the Bulls to miss out on what should have been easy fast break points. So those issues are still there. But on the whole, it was nice to see Coby White have that kind of night, especially with Roy Williams in attendance. So with that, let us get to our Wednesday mailbag content. Before we do, quick shout out to our friends at Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment, including Audible Originals. Audible Originals are stories created exclusively for audio, including documentaries, exclusive audiobooks, and scripted shows that you can't hear anywhere else. Audible keeps you informed, inspired, and entertained. You'll finish more stories when you listen with Audible and always be part of the conversation. With the convenient Audible app, you can listen anytime, anywhere, and on any device, mobile, Alexa-enabled, Bluetooth, and more. You can listen at the gym, while you're shopping, in the car, while traveling. Anytime you can't read, you can listen with Audible. And now, Audible members are getting more than ever before. Every month, you can choose one audiobook, regardless of price, as well as two Audible originals from a fresh selection. You can sign up for free updates from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Washington Post delivered daily to the Audible app. And Audible members can easily exchange any title they don't love at any time. You can start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/LockedOnNBA or text LockedOnNBA to 500-500. That's audible.com/LockedOnNBA or text LockedOnNBA to 500-500 to start your free 30-day Audible trial. All right, without further ado, let's get to our mailbag content for the week. This text comes to us from the 630. I'm sorry, but Shaq Harrison needs to go. For a self-proclaimed playoff team, he has no place other than the occasional weird point guard lineup or in garbage time. Waive him. Oh, and I don't know, maybe use Denzel Valentine in his last year to make sure you're not missing anything. Valentine isn't a world breaker, but he would probably add more than Shaq at this point. Thanks for checking in. I'm not sure what our texture's real concern is here. I'm guessing that this came during or after the Rockets game when Shaq got a little bit more run. But, I mean, for the most part, Shaq Harrison has not been in this rotation. Even when the Bulls have been down a man, like last night against the Knicks, with Chandler Hutchison sliding into the starting lineup because Otto Porter is out and nursing that injury, we saw no Shaq Harrison. I think we saw maybe 2 minutes of Shaq in garbage time, as the texter said. So I'm not sure what your main concern is there. Even when Jim Boylan was using a full 10-man rotation, Shaq Harrison was not a part of it. And we saw him go down to a 9-man rotation for the most part last night when he removed Luke Kornet, who has certainly struggled so far this season, from the rotation. So as to Valentine, I think that's the more interesting part of this text, because Valentine got in the garbage time final 2 minutes of the win over the Knicks, and that was only his, I believe, second action. Also got some garbage time in their blowout loss to the Raptors, and also with Gafford was sent down briefly to the Windy City Bulls. And Valentine put on a show. I think he had, you know, like 20 something points and like 14 or 15 rebounds or something like that in his Windy City game. But when he was most recently pressed by the media about what's up with Denzel Valentine and why he can't crack the rotation, you know, Boylan was very curt with his answers. Why isn't Denzel Valentine in the rotation? Because I said so. And what does he need to do? Well, he needs some seasoning. He needs to grow. He needs to play. Just really weird, short answers from Boylan that didn't really key into what exactly he sees to be the problem with Denzel right now. It was very vague and it was very blunt at the same time. So this team is shallow at the wing, and we're seeing that now with especially Otto Porter Jr. nursing an injury. This team has struggled behind the three-point line, save for a couple of hot nights from Zach LaVine and Coby White. Thad Young has shot the ball better than expected from behind the three-point line, better than his career numbers. You've had some good and some bad from the other various role players. Otto's had some bad shooting nights, a couple of decent ones, and same could be said for Tomas Satoransky. Denzel Valentine, if anything, brings some three-point shooting and some decent rebounding ability for a guy his size, and rebounding has been another issue for this team through their first 10 or so games. So it's fair for fans and media alike to be asking Jim Poyhlen, what is up? Why aren't you using Denzel Valentine? Clearly, there is something that Jim sees to be a problem with Denzel. I have even heard somebody say, who is close to this team and covers this team, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing here, man, Jim Poyhlen really doesn't like Denzel. But again, we haven't heard specific reasons from Poyhlen as to why that is. I have my own theories, and I've talked about them before, and maybe it has to do with when we saw extended Denzel in the preseason games, he looked pretty gassed after a few times up and down the floor. Supposedly passed the conditioning test that Jim Poyhlen made every player on the roster pass during training camp, but Denzel looked like he didn't have enough gas to get back in transition defense and did not look to have the same lift on his shot after being on the court for just a few minutes. His knees didn't look to have a lot underneath them, and he was putting up a lot of shots that fell short after maybe hitting his first three or two, or at least looking like he had a decent three ball when he first checked into the game. My theory is it's conditioning, and that is something that Denzel has not fully gained back after sitting out an entire season last year and still not being fully ready for full team activities coming into training camp this year. So that's my theory. But why is it that can't just be something that Jim Poyhlen says to us when asked,
instead of saying, because I said so?
Because that continues the narrative and continues to build on this problem that the fan base and the media alike have with Jim Poyhlen, which is that sometimes he treats the fan base, the media, and his own players like they're all stupid children. What kind of answer is that, because I said so? Excuse me, Mr. Power Trip. How about you prove to us that you have what it takes to close games as a coach before just being so insulted by questions that at this point appear to be at least fairly valid questions? Because I said so. I don't know. I don't know what's up with Jim Poyhlen and Denzel Valentine, other than for whatever reason, Jim does not like Denzel and does not think he is a valuable piece of this rotation right now. As for whether or not that will change in the coming days, weeks, and months, I have no idea. We will find out. Here is a text from the 312. Do you guys think that they trade Zach or Lowry before the trade deadline? I would hate to trade either of the two, but I think it's the only way that Gar Pax can keep their jobs. They can't fire Poyhlen because they just signed him to an extension, and most importantly, it would show the lack of creativity and logic for not having an actual coaching search. Well said, I agree. Also, the past five Bulls coaches were all rookie coaches, so I think he has some security. Each of them lasted at least one whole season. With that being said, do you see the front office moving on from the players or the coach? With their jobs pretty much on the line, what do you think is their next move? Thanks for checking in. You raise a good point. And that's something I kind of talked about when I was comparing the Bulls situation to the horrible situation the Knicks are going through. And the fact that we, after the Knicks' bad loss to the Cavs a few days ago, heard from the Knicks president and GM when they came out and said this is unacceptable. And they are essentially laying the groundwork right now to fire their head coach, Dave Fizdale, and, essentially use him as the scapegoat. The Bulls don't have the luxury of doing that right now. They can't use Jim Poyhlen as the scapegoat for their poor start if, in fact, they do not turn this poor start around, because they doubled down on him being their guy when they gave him an undeserved contract extension this offseason. So right now, it is, I think, the Bulls front office saying we need them to perform better. Jim Poyhlen has even thrown his own players under the bus saying they need to perform better. They need to be better at preparing themselves for the game and having that readiness, and also they need to execute and they need to learn how to win, and they. So I'm not surprised that that is what we're seeing right now. And to be fair, and if you haven't already, you should go read the wonderful column that my executive producer for Bulls Outsiders at NBC Sports, Kevin Anderson, wrote for NBCSportsChicago.com, I believe posted yesterday. You can find it on the Bulls section of NBCSportsChicago.com, about how maybe there is some truth to the fact that the players are underperforming, and that's part of the problem, because the Bulls are having a tough start to the season when it comes to shooting the ball, and somewhere close to 90% of their shots from behind the three-point line are either open or wide open by NBA stat metrics, and that the Bulls are merely getting unlucky and not knocking down open shots when they should, and that theoretically this offensive system that the Bulls are using right now should be working more efficiently than it is, and that it is the players that are underperforming and not the system that is flawed. And that is one element to it. And again, I certainly advise, if you haven't read that yet, to go read that. Kevin Anderson did a great job fleshing out all the details. There's visual aids and graphics and breaking down everything about what the Bulls have done underperforming from a shooting standpoint so far this season. So there is that. But is that something that would, as our texter is pondering, enough motivation to say through a slow start to a season, all right, well, we got to do something. Something's not working. Players are underperforming, so let's do something drastic, like trade one of the pieces of our rebuild, Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen. I think, we still have plenty of time before that trade deadline comes, in a few months. What I think is that the Bulls won't do anything hasty as far as, you know, pulling the trigger on a trade sometime soon, because they still, I think, will give Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen a little bit more time to show what they can do. And when it comes to LaVine, cutting down on the turnovers and becoming more of a finisher in close games in the fourth quarters, he did a little bit of that against the Knicks, you know, took over, had a couple of really nice buckets late in that game, and certainly helped Coby White along in their win against Memphis. Lauri Markkanen, we all know, has been a disappointment so far. Even the, you know, the Lowry defenders and stands like myself, who really see the high ceiling for this kid in the NBA. I would be lying to myself and to all of you if I said, I'm not worried about Lowry. Lowry's fine. And give him a pass. Lowry does not deserve a pass. Some of it, as we learned earlier this week, might have to do with the fact that he has been playing through an oblique injury that he suffered 2 weeks ago. So maybe that has affected his shot being off and his poor shooting from outside. Maybe it's also affected his inability or his lack of desire to do some damage down in the post and really, you know, attack the rim aggressively with his size and his muscle and his, you know, various bag of tools of attacking the basket, because maybe he's protecting an injury that's nagging him right now. And then, you know, if you wanted to, you could open up a whole different can of worms of, well, why is he playing through an injury and why did they hide it for 2 weeks? And does that have anything to do with Mr. Grit and Toughness head coach Jim Boylan? I don't want to talk about that because that's a scary thought. But as for whether or not I think the Bulls pull a trigger and panic trade either Zach or Lowry, I'm not saying it's impossible that they move one of those guys before the deadline, but look, Zach LaVine is on one of the most team-friendly contracts in the league right now when it comes to what he produces and gives you on the court every night and what you're paying him. It's an insanely cheap deal for a guy who does what Zach does. Lowry is the tougher question, because the Bulls have to be thinking about long-term, is Lowry really a cornerstone of this rebuild, and is he worth committing to on a big contract when his rookie contract is up? And I don't know what the Bulls are thinking about that right now. Right now, through the first 11 games of his third year, the returns don't look good. But again, is part of that because of injury, is part of that because of system. And Jim Boylan's multi-ball handler system is Lowry not getting enough looks, and do they need to go out of their way to get him better looks? I would be shocked if either of these guys is traded in the immediate future, and I'm not ruling out the possibility that after a larger sample size of watching the next, 20 to 30 games as we near that halfway point of the season and the trade deadline, if they decide, for whatever reason, Zach and or Lowry should be moved. But again, with Zach and his contract, I would be surprised to see them deal him. Although his team-friendly contract might be a thing that helps them get a really solid return for Zach if they do decide that he is not the guy that they want. So it's a good question. It's a fair question, I think, based on the start that each of those players have had to say, are the Bulls going to panic and trade one of those guys? Because again, as our texter pointed out, you can't point the finger of blame at Boylan and fire him, because then you're exposing yourselves. And yes, it's true. You're also exposing yourselves if you trade these players, because you are the ones who drafted and or traded for these players to make this rebuild get off the ground. But it is a more recent, more egregious move by the front office to give Jim Boylan an extension. We had no past proof of being able to be a head coach in the NBA. It's a more egregious exposure of their failures and flaws as a front office to throw Boylan under the bus as opposed to blame the players themselves for underperforming. This next mailbag question comes to us from Jonathan on Facebook. I haven't heard all the recent podcasts, so maybe you've covered it, but do you think people like playing with Zach? Comments about guys doing their own thing seem to be about him. Thanks for checking in, Jonathan. So I think the whole players doing their own thing comments that we've heard from players like Thad Young, Wendell, Satoransky, after some of their tough losses recently, you could fairly assume involve the ISO possessions for Zach LaVine late in games. And that's sort of the live and die for the Bulls when you get to the fourth quarter and Zach LaVine tries to take over and play ISO ball in late crunch time scenarios. And there's been more bad than good that comes from those moments so far in his Bulls tenure. Now, I think it's fair to wonder if everyone on that Bulls roster enjoys playing with Zach, and maybe some people think that he is not necessarily selfish, maybe selfish in some not overtly aggressive ways, but in just sort of a lack of awareness way. That when Zach decides that on this possession, when he gets the ball in his hands, he's not going to give it up and he's going to go get himself a shot, whether it be driving and attacking the basket or, taking a pull-up three, a step-back three, whatever it may be. So I think there is some truth to that, and that there's also truth to the fact that in some of these late fourth quarter collapses, and Boylan cites the fact that the ball stops moving, yes, Zach LaVine can be a culprit for the ball sticking late in games. It's also true that of the people on this roster, not many have the ability that Zach LaVine has to create their own shot and get buckets when you need to get a bucket. So I think it's kind of a fine line between should Bulls fans and should Bulls players, as well, be upset with Zach when he kind of goes into ball hog mode or blinders mode late in games especially, or should we all just be aware of and resign ourselves to the fact that other than Kobe White going on an insane hot streak from downtown, there really aren't that many people on this roster who can do what Zach could do right now and create his own shot when you need a shot. So I don't think it's a big problem right now if, our Facebook question from Jonathan is about, do we think there's a locker room, problem brewing? No, I wouldn't take it that far as of yet. And again, you know, as they always say, winning solves almost everything. So if between LaVine's hero ball working occasionally and between this team just as a whole executing better, and also, by the way, hoping Jim Boylan figures out his rotation and timeout management a little better down the stretch in close games, and they win some of these games that they should win as opposed to losing these games that they should absolutely not lose, then I don't think you're going to have any locker room problems of saying, oh, man, like, you know, Zach took some selfish shots in the fourth quarter tonight. No, I think that that will, you know, not be a problem unless Zach increases the frequency of his hero ball, you know, blinders, ball hogginess of fourth quarter moments, and the Bulls continue to lose games that they should not lose. But I think I'm not pressing a panic button on that yet when it comes to do players actually enjoy playing with Zach LaVine. Because I think most people in that Bulls locker room, if not all, are aware of the talents that Zach has and the fact that this team needs Zach to be good for them to win basketball games. Here's another Facebook question, this one from Matthew in Leeds, England. Like every other Bulls fan, I'm disgusted in the start to our season. I think we all had high hopes for LaVine and Markkanen, but so far that's not looking good. Over the past few games, I'm beginning to think that Wendell Carter Jr. is the biggest asset to this team. He's a good defender, his offensive game is improving, and even though he's young, he acts and talks like a leader. I think Carter is the cornerstone of the Bulls now. What do you think? I honestly don't have anything to add to this. I just wanted to read it because I think it is perfectly summing up the frustrations and the bright spot of the Bulls' start to the season so far. LaVine and Markkanen have both been a disappointment more than they have met or exceeded our expectations. Wendell has, I think, because of the modest expectations coming off of a shortened rookie season and an underwhelming season offensively last year, exceeded expectations. 7 double-doubles in his first 11 games. You're starting to see more confidence on the offensive end, shooting a much better field goal percentage around the rim than he did last year. There are still parts of his offensive game that haven't quite flourished and blossomed yet, but I'm starting to feel more optimism about those. And I think the most important point that Matthew points out is the leadership that he is displaying at such a young age. And we got another example of it in his comments after the win over the Knicks on Tuesday night, saying, we know what we're capable of, and we should not, and I will not, accept anything less than what we know we're capable of now. And granted, you know, staving off a late run by a terrible Knicks team to avoid losing to them twice already through 10 games, 11 games, it's not like a high bar to set for Wendell to say this is what we're capable of and we can't accept anything less. But the spirit of what he's saying still, I think, is very true and very important. And he has continued to demonstrate that at a very young age, this kid's still only 20 years old, he has the intelligence and maturity to speak his mind and express what goes wrong and call out what's wrong, and also be able to highlight what's right and say, you know, we need to continue to do these things and we need to stop doing these things. And I don't think it's a reach at all for Matthew or anyone else to say Carter is the cornerstone of this young Bulls team. As we are earlier in today's show wondering, is this team going to pull the trigger and trade Zach and or Lowry if they don't get their shit together before the trade deadline? There is a very bright future for Wendell in the NBA. He's already demonstrating what he can do on both ends of the floor. And I think more so than LaVine or Lowry, he has established himself as a vocal leader in that locker room. So, great comments from Matthew on Facebook. Wanted to share those with you because I very much agree with what he had to say. All right, few more thoughts, and we will get out of here for the day. Going back to the text line, this comes to us from the 872. Hey, guys, I don't know if you guys are keeping up with what's going on with the Knicks, but if they end up firing their coach, would you mind the Bulls hiring Fizdale? And as a follow-up, if you had to pick between Fizdale and Dave Yorger, who would you choose to be the head coach as a GM? So, pretending that I have Gar Forman's job, Bulls general manager, would I hire Dave Fizdale if he becomes available, assuming that the Knicks are firing him, which many believe will be any week now? Would I prefer Fizdale or Dave Yorger? My initial reaction is to the first part of the question, no, I wouldn't mind if the Bulls hired Fizdale. I think Fizdale can be a coach for a good coach for young players, much like the Bulls believe Jim Boylan is a good coach for young players. Yorger, I was initially thinking was, you know, a guy who could have a very bright future in the NBA and could be a very good coach and maybe a good option for the Bulls, at least somebody that they should have interviewed when they did their non-existent coaching search before giving Boylan an extension. But I really didn't like what I saw from him in Sacramento. I was not that impressed. As for Fizdale, he's clearly about to be fired from the Bulls. Would I prefer him over Jim Boylan? Yes. But I would at this point prefer, you know, a hobo that the Bulls find in a trash can behind the United Center to Jim Boylan. That's hyperbole and maybe slightly insulting to Jim, but whatever. I'm done with Jim Boylan. I think the name that I am jealous of right now as a Bulls fan who wished we had a better coach is Monty Williams. You see what this young Phoenix Suns team is doing already this season, taking championship title contender kind of teams, taking Western Conference juggernauts toe-to-toe, beating teams that nobody expected them to beat. The Suns, even without DeAndre Ayton, who's serving this, you know, 25-game suspension or whatever it is, look to be a team that's making the big stride that a lot of people here in Chicago and otherwise expected the Bulls to make this season. Young, inexperienced, but a lot of promising talent, and making a big stride for that young talent to, you know, quote unquote, figure out how to win, learn how to win. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they are doing that and having this early success this season with Monty Williams at the helm. Monty Williams is a name that I was definitely hoping the Bulls were going to look towards last offseason. I think, based on what I heard, that Monty was open to meeting with the Bulls and was at least somewhat interested in the job if the job were up for grabs. But instead, he goes to Phoenix, and look what he's doing there. So it's just a point of jealousy, and I know it's not very useful. It's not a good way to spend your time racking your brain over thinking, well, what would this Bulls team look like if we had Monty Williams coaching it? Or what would it look like if we had Fizdale or Yorger coaching it? Because, sadly, I think the reality right now, and you know, it's something we've touched on in recent shows, it's something we touched on earlier in today's episode, it is about the Bulls front office committing to Jim Boylan being their guy, and that with this extension, I see no way that they fire him this season. Something insanely drastic would have to happen. And I'm talking about something worse than a near mutiny that happened last season after their 53-point loss to Boston. Something bigger than that would have to happen for them to take the drastic measure to fire Jim Boylan. So comparing potential head coaches is kind of a moot point right now. Because Bulls fans are all wondering, like, when are we going to get rid of this joker? And as one of our earlier texters pointed out, it's not in the Bulls front office's list of options right now. They can't go out and do what the Knicks front office did and throw their coach under the bus, because they and their coach have already thrown the players under the bus to say the players need to play better. They need to perform better. They need to prepare better. So
it's certainly possible that the Bulls dismiss Boylan before his contract is up. We know that the Reinsdorfs have no problems paying coaches to go away. They did it with Tibbs. They did it with Fred. They might do it with Boylan, too. But I would be shocked if that happens this season. His first full season as a coach. They are going to give him the benefit of the doubt to see if he can get this group of young players where they want them to be. But, you know, in a dream make-believe world, man, I wish this team had Monty Williams coaching it. Really, really, really do. That's going to do it for this day's episode. Another quick shout out to our friends at Audible. If you haven't already, go check out the Audible app. It is great. I use it all the time. Thanks to Audible for being a sponsor of Locked On Bulls and the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, hit us up on that text to voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Hopefully later in the week or early next week, Jordan and I will tackle some new voicemails that we have in that inbox. Thanks to all of our loyal listeners who continue to use that text to voicemail line. We appreciate all of you, and we appreciate all of our listeners who tune in to Locked On Bulls every day. Just a quick plug before we get out of here. Some of you might already know that I am participating in Movember this year as part of a team of NBC Sports Chicago, raising money for a great cause for men's health and mental health, partnering with the Movember Foundation. If you have a few bucks to spare, and I literally mean even just a few bucks, I would greatly appreciate it. It is for a great cause. You can find my Movember page to make a small donation, either on the pinned tweet at the top of my Bulls Talk Bulls underscore Peck Twitter account, or on my Instagram bio. You can find me on Instagram at MeetPeck, M-E-A-T-P-E-C-K. And you can also find the link to donate to my Movember page there in my Instagram bio. Would really appreciate it. Any couple of bucks that you might spare for a great cause. For my partner, Jordan Malley, who hopefully we will get back tomorrow, Matt Peck saying thank you so much for listening to Locked On Bulls. Love and appreciate you, Bulls Nation. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Until then, see red, be good. Peace out.
Kobe White, one bounce, left wing three, bam! Oh, he needed that one, folks. And so did the Bulls. Kobe White for three. Arch up top to White, one bounce, three ball. Yes! Back-to-back jacks! Kobe White, timeout New York! Archie Diacono to White, another right side three. Yes! Back-to-back-to-back jacks! Right in front of his North Carolina head coach, Roy Williams. Done left side, White, let it fly, Kobe. Yes! That's four here in the fourth quarter. Kobe White! Four in a row here in the fourth quarter. Kobe White, yes! Five straight three balls, Kobe White. White, another topside three, got it! Then six here in the fourth quarter. Oh my, wow. Kobe White, what's the Bulls record for most made threes in a quarter?
That sets it for most made threes three. In a
Kobe
quarter.
Kobe White has set a franchise record for most made three-point field goals in a quarter with six. White, a couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame! Put him in the Hall! He's got seven threes!
Wow.
Like you said, I've had some big scoring fourth quarter, or, you know, big scoring quarters. That was as impressive as any of the ones I've ever seen.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com